Thanks, Carl, for leading that touching song. It's very emotional to think about and to consider. Thankful to be alive tonight. And as we think about the blessings, as we remember the Lord's Supper and also concerning all the things that we have, is there anything that you can live without in this world? Just think about, I couldn't live without my favorite hobby or my favorite program or my best friend, or maybe as we're suffering here tonight, without air conditioning. But in the past, they lived without those things. So we often mention the Israelites living out in the heat of the wilderness for 40 years. There are things that we can live without, but we have to have air. We have to have water and food and clothing and shelter to live very, very long. Probably we can probably live without maybe shelter, a little bit of shelter. There are some that live without shelter. But the thing is that there are some things that we can't live without. And what about spiritually? As you think about your life and my life, can you live spiritually without these things? Think about in Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Hebrew writer by inspiration says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Can you live spiritually without faith? Now, as you think about these examples of those in Hebrews chapter 11, they couldn't live without faith, and neither can we. As we think about our lives, if we don't have faith, we're helpless and hopeless and godless concerning our lives. The only way that we're going to get that faith is through hearing the word of Christ, Romans 10 and verse 17. And we think about concerning works in James chapter 2 and James chapter 2, can you live spiritually without works? In James chapter 2, here's the question that is asked. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith? I have that, but he has no works. Can that faith save him? Can it? That's the question that he's answering. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? What use is it to say you have faith if you don't see to their needs? Verse 17, if so faith, even so faith, if it has not works, is dead being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe, and what do? And tremble. So they have even more than faith only. They tremble at the word of God. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? Verse 22, you see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Or we think about accepting the explanation of Scripture, whereby some would just deny that the book of James is inspired by God because it doesn't fit with their idea of faith only. And obviously that is wrong and that is sinful and evil. But what about us as brethren? We have faith, but we're not obeying the Lord and doing his will. Is it worse to believe faith only or practice faith only. Because can you live spiritually without works? No, you can't. Without it, faith is dead. Does that apply to me that I'm saying, Lord, Lord, but I'm not doing what he says in my life, even though I might be able to teach others what the Bible says, but I'm not practicing what the Bible says, works of obedience. Also, can you live spiritually without discipline in Hebrews chapter 12? So I can live without that. I can live without the pain. Can you really? Spiritually, can you? In Hebrews chapter 12, the Hebrew writer says, you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons, as they are, as we mentioned this morning, departing. They're growing weary and losing heart. He told them to fix their eyes on Jesus. He said, you've forgotten this exhortation. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us. We respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. As we talk about from the physical to the spiritual application concerning discipline, a lot of people are living without discipline in a physical sense. But in a spiritual sense, it's destroying them. And as you think about concerning making mistakes as parents, we're not perfect, but God is perfect. Those whom he loves, he disciplines. He always disciplines us for our good. So when we think about concerning without discipline, can you live spiritually without discipline? I mean, the book of Proverbs is all about discipline. Are we going to receive correction? Are we going to be willing to receive rebukes? You look at the disciples of Jesus. They had to endure rebuke after rebuke after rebuke after rebuke. Correction. And the whole thing is that they learned. They learned from that. They were thinking in physical terms and worldly terms and glory and praise and honor in his kingdom and thinking about an earthly kingdom. But they learned. And the whole thing is that we need to learn also, because without it, you're illegitimate and not his child, as far as if you are living without discipline, without correcting what you see from the Word of God. Also, can you live spiritually without holiness? The next verse in Hebrews 12 and verse 14 says, pursue peace with all men, and the holiness or the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. A lot of the translations will say holiness there in that passage. And so when we think about our lives, Romans chapter 12 and verse 18 would talk about as much as lies within you, be at peace with all people. Sometimes it's not possible. You're not going to seek revenge, but the whole thing is that you're holy all the time. In 1 John chapter 3, because we're not going to see the Lord if we are not holy. In 1 John 3 and verse 2 and 3, the Apostle John says, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him. Because of what? Because we will see him just as he is. And you stop and you think about that. Maybe you're a child of somebody, you know, great godly parents. You think about those who are children, maybe of those who are famous in a sense. And look at how blessed they are. And actually, they aren't from a physical standpoint, because we see the wreck and havoc concerning those who are our children of actors or actresses. But the whole thing is that here I have a name, but to be a child of God, what a blessing that we will be like him. We will see him just as he is. So based upon what he just said, he said, in everyone who has this hope fixed on him, we have our hope fixed on him, purifies himself just as he is pure. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What about love? Can you live spiritually without love? In 1 Corinthians 13, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Apostle Paul, to the Corinthian brethren who lacked love, especially concerning the spiritual gifts in this context, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but it can apply in every area of life, certainly. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I'm just making noise. I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. The thing is that people would take stock in all of these other things, and without love, it's not going to profit you anything. You give your body to be burned, you don't have love, it's nothing. And then he explains what love is. Love suffers long and is kind, is not jealous. Love does not brag, is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Notice it. Love never fails. Love never fails. You think about anything that you could possibly do, you don't have love. You think about all these great individuals, maybe did all these great things, but it doesn't come from the motivation of love. It's nothing. The whole thing is, if we love Jesus, John 14, verse 15, what are we going to do? If we love Jesus, we're going to keep his commandments. Now, you keep his commandments without love, it's not going to profit you anything, is it? It's got to come in from the motivation of love in response to his love. For as we think about Christ in John 15, in John chapter 15, where Jesus was in this context, said, I am the vine and you are the branches. In John chapter 15, in verse 4, Jesus said to his disciples, abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, what can you do? For apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. We can't do it without him. As you think about those who would say, hey, you know, you got to pick up yourself by your own bootstraps. And the old saying goes, right? But spiritually, we can't. Without him, we could do nothing. In verse 6, he said, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. In Romans chapter 5, this is our condition without Christ, without God. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, if while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. One will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, have been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. From helpless and hopeless and godless, because of God demonstrating his own love toward us, and that last point concerning love, we can be saved from the wrath of God through him and be reconciled through his precious blood. Can we live without forgiveness spiritually? Can we live without that? No, in Hebrews chapter 9, notice what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 9. Has been talking much about Jesus Christ being our great high priest compared to the Old Testament priest that died and someone else had to take their place. And under the new covenant of Christ, how much better it is based upon better promises. He mentioned that in Hebrews chapter 8, where there is the forgiveness of sins, there wasn't the provision in the Old Testament. He said in verse 11 of Hebrews 9, when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation. And not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For this reason, he is a mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where a covenant is, there must of necessity be the death of the one who made it. For a covenant is valid only when men are dead, for it is never in force while the one who made it lives. Therefore, even the first covenant was not inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment has been spoken by Moses to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God commanded you. And in the same way, he sprinkled both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry with the blood. And according to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Blood of bulls and goats couldn't do it. For once, one sacrifice for all time to come. And as we think about what hopefully each and every one of us have done, concerning the blood of Christ, how do we contact the blood of Christ? Romans chapter 6, in verse 3, said, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. That newness of life. Saul, when he was told as a penitent believer, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. We think about it, without it, we can't be saved from the wrath to come. Going back to the passage in Romans 5, verses 8 and 9. And the whole thing is, as Christians, as we think about, well, you know, I've got my ticket punched to heaven, or because I have been baptized for the remission of sins, I have been born again to a living hope, but we have to continue to practice righteousness in our lives. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26, as you think about some of the brethren who were forsaking the assembling of themselves together, he said in verse 26, if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment, the fury of a fire, which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That is, if we are practicing sin, we're deliberately sinning in our life. We're not practicing righteousness. We're not confessing our sins, as 1 John 1 tells us. Because if we walk in the light, the idea is we're obeying his commandments. As he is in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin so that we have fellowship with him. But the whole thing is, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If, though, we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can you live spiritually without these things in your life? As you think about your life, without faith, works, discipline, holiness, love, without Christ, without the forgiveness of sins, we can't live without these things. Many people think they can live without it, but judgment day is coming. That's a fact. How do we know that's a fact? How do we really know? You know, as you think about telling others, what proof can you give them that there's going to be a judgment day? God's given us the proof. Acts 17, 30 and 31. God has given proof to all men by raising him from the dead. That's how we know there's going to be a judgment day, and that's why all people everywhere need to repent. What about you tonight? Do you need to obey the gospel of Christ? Do you need to be forgiven of your sins? It's only through the blood of Christ that's going to happen. Contacting the blood of Christ as a penitent believer through being baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Or if you need to be restored, if it's of a public nature, to confess it publicly, if privately, privately. Gospel lesson is yours from the word of God. You know your heart. God knows your heart. If you need to respond, God calls. We encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing.
There's a line that is drawn by rejecting our Lord, where the call of his Spirit is lost. And you hurry along with the pleasure mad throng. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you have crossed. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? You may barter your hope of eternity's morn for a moment of joy at the most. For the glitter of sin and the things it will win, have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you have crossed. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? While the door of his mercy is open to you, ere the depth of his love you exhaust, won't you come and be here?
we're led in our closing prayer, let's turn to number 574. Certainly, we're all very thankful for the efforts that Steve does with these sermons, and I was thinking of yet another one that we can't live without, which is the Word of God, as Hebrews chapter 1 would say, all the world and the universe is held together by the word of his power, or the power of his word. But number 574.